A recent survey showed that over half of Americans read at or below a sixth grade level. This hampers their ability to follow medical advice, to get promoted on the job, to help their children with schoolwork. And volunteer tutors like Fedor Konyashenkov, a recent college graduate in Washington, try to help.
The thing that underpins everything is equity and the possibility of everybody having an equal chance of participating whenever they want to do. And literacy is one of those tools that can allow someone to read the news and understand what they're actually reading instead of just consuming whatever they listen to and just parrot that.
We'll look at the challenges for people who have trouble reading and how it affects our democracy. I'm David Freudberg. Stay with us for Adults Learning to Read from Humankind. Humankind is produced in association with GBH Boston and Documentary Educational Resources. This special project, Adults Learning to Read, is supported by the Humankind Program Fund. What having trouble reading and writing means for the lives of tens of millions of Americans and for the functioning of our democracy. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg.
Very often the case that people who have learning disabilities, reading disabilities in particular, have above average intelligence.
David Rosen in Boston has devoted much of his life to educating adults, including those who lack basic skills.
And even if they have average intelligence, they have become very skilled at hiding the fact that they can't read. They may carry a newspaper under their arm in the days, I suppose, when people did carry newspapers and not be able to read a word.
Unfortunately, there's a kind of stigma for people who have trouble with reading and writing, and many in this huge population are shy about asking for help.
If you just think about walking through your life and the number of times that text appears in front of you that you need to process, interpret, and act upon.
Lauren Osowski is a senior research and policy specialist at ProLiteracy, based in Syracuse, New York, a national organization which supports the education of adult learners.
So whether you're at work, and it means reading signs, reading manuals, reading correspondence from your boss, or prices on a shelf, whatever it is, that's a lot of text, a lot of literacy to know. Think about going to the doctor, all the forms you have to sign, the things they throw at you when you get to the doctor's office, even the amount of information that you're expected to process with these huge words and the doctor coming in, firing questions at you, and then telling you what's wrong, giving you a diagnosis, and getting you out. That is hard enough to sink in for anyone who has a very high literacy level, let alone someone with a lower literacy level.
The reason some adults have trouble with reading vary widely. They may have diagnosable learning disabilities like dyslexia, or there may have been family problems that interfered with their early education, as was the case for Clarence Wright, now in his early 70s. Before he retired, Clarence was a kind of jack-of-all-trades. For 32 years at a home for older adults in Boston, he helped to maintain over 100 units. Then one day, his life changed.
I went to a doctor, my doctor appointment, it was like last year, and we used to talk all the time, and you know, Clarence, can I ask you something? I say, yeah, go ahead. He said, can you read? I say, no, I cannot read.
What tipped off the orthopedist he was seeing at the hospital was when Clarence unfolded a piece of paper showing his medications without seeming to know what was listed. He could recognize letters and numbers, but he had trouble reading fluently.
Because you're a very intelligent man, he said. Very nice. We had some good conversations. I just wonder. He said, I'm gonna try to help you out. And from there, kicked off that way.
The doctor ultimately connected Clarence with a group called Literacy Volunteers of Massachusetts, which helps native-born Americans as well as immigrants. We met in their downtown Boston office building, where they now proudly display his colorful abstract artwork. He meets there regularly with a tutor. I found Clarence to be very friendly and likable and good-humored.
I got you hot water.
Okay.
Do you want some black
no,
tea?
No, I'll take the water.
And I got you some sugar in case you want to put some sugar
my
in
son,
water.
When he found out, I couldn't read it. I'm like, Dad. Because the first grader books and stuff like that, Dick James books like that they had a long time ago, I could read those books, the little lessons. He said, you taught me how to read. How can you not read all my life? I thought you could read because you was, you know. I'm going like, yeah, I'm a little slow in reading. Say, but you, we read books and stuff like that. How could you not read? And you taught me how to read. I say, hey, it was just... You know, I didn't want you to be like me, so I tried my all. My wife would let me, you know, help him. And then if I didn't know a word, my wife would be there. She would help me.
Would you say you were covering up a little bit?
Yeah, I did. He couldn't believe it. He was shocked. Because you run a building, 145 units. How can you not, how you get up in the morning and how you get I don't know that. I just don't know how you did it. I say, yeah, well, it was nothing but God. We were church-going people then, and we still is. And then I say, hey, nothing but God, man.
The requirements of his decades maintaining that building forced Clarence to master many skills, which he somehow managed without the benefit of reading. He calls that common sense.
Plumber, electrical, a lot of stuff like that, and fridge, a little bit about the thermostats and how to put motors in and motors on the unit, on the building, on the top of the building, on the fans, motors, select to learn. But I got it. I did it.
Fantastic.
And sometime I had to do it alone, and you got to be able to do that.
A testament to how people adapt even with their limitations. Clarence recalls his upbringing in rural North Carolina, where his mother was an avid reader, but the conditions of his childhood were traumatizing.
After she found out that I couldn't read, I was probably in the fourth grade when she found out, and she was very upset about it. She tried everything she could to help out, but I just couldn't get it because I've seen so much in my life, you know?
Because you had seen so much?
Yeah, my mom, she was sort of nervous. And I seen her when I was a little kid, like 4 or 5 years old. They come and got her to put her in the hospital because, you know, because she lost a kid, my twin. She lost my twin, and I guess she just didn't pull through good. I seen her when they came and got her, and that stayed on my mind. And a lot of other things, you know. And my dad, he wasn't the best guy in the world. So, you know, I had to grow up early. Still being a kid, I had to be a man, you know, that's what it was.
That created some stress.
Yeah, it created some stress.
And you think that contributed to your reading difficulty?
Yeah, because I've seen so much in my life. I've seen so much and didn't know when, where my next meal was going to be sometimes. And my my manners has really carried me through.
Your manners?
Yeah, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Two people liked me and they fed me and gave me clothes and I thanked them and I did a lot of that, thank you. And that was in my blood anyway. My mother taught me how to yes ma'am, no ma'am. That kept me above the water.
The problem of low literacy for adults was dramatized in the 1990 film Stanley and Iris, starring Robert De Niro and Jane Fonda.
I never thought what it would be like.
You're in a city. You can't read the street signs. You're lost. You grab people. You stop them. You ask 3 people. You ask 4 people. Which way? Where do I go? How do I get there? You can't take a bus. You can't read where it's going. You can't drive a car because you can't get a license. You ask yourself, have I got a name if I can't write it? Am I a human being if I can't read it?
Why don't you do something about it?
Clarence Wright told me how he handled the paperwork required on medical visits.
I would always ask him, could you help me, please? You know, because I can't read this, all of it. And so someone will come and help me. Usually someone comes around, help me. Mr. Wright, will you wait? Where do you hand? So I'll use the wait.
Would you, for example, have trouble with street signs trying to walk through the city or drive through it?
No. I don't know. It's common sense. Everything to me is just like you have to use your common sense. And I guess that's what I did.
But you had a driver's license.
Yeah, I have a driver's license. In Carolina, driver's license, and I got a Boston driver's license, yeah.
And it didn't require reading anything to get the license?
No, choice. You know, you can do it by choice, right?
Oh, you can do it orally or in writing?
Yeah. That's what I did when I first came to Boston.
Right.
So I had people help me to study. You know, I was a pretty good learner.
Helped along by that doctor, Clarence took the leap that can be so awkward for others who would like to improve their literacy skills but are sometimes embarrassed. He is able to recognize many short words, but has had trouble sounding them out phonetically, which is not uncommon for people who have wrestled with this problem. Lauren Osowski of Pro Literacy.
They have seen the failure. They have seen the struggles. They've lived through numerous challenges that they've had to overcome. And they came back. They made the choice to come back and focus on their own education and improve their lives. We always say that the hardest part of coming to an adult education program is walking in the door. And frequently that's true because it takes a lot of courage to say, I need a little help with this.
But if you can't read, it may be hard to find out that literacy education is even available, whether through volunteers or public libraries or dedicated adult education courses, and exactly where to access those services. Adult educator David Rosen.
Some people have who may be doing really well in their job, and their supervisor or someone in their company has said, we want to offer you a promotion. And they realize they would love to accept that job. They would love to accept the increased salary. But it means that they would have to be able to read and write. That the things that they have done that enabled them to do their current job, maybe bring home a piece of paper that a spouse could read to them, or a child could read to them, or other kind of strategies, a coworker who might say, oh, yeah, this is about this and this. Oh, I got it. Okay, fine, I can do that. That they can't accept the promotion because they cannot read and write. And so they seek out an adult literacy program in the hopes that that might work for them. And often it does.
But what the adult learners bring with them is a personal history of struggling to read and write that may go back decades. It's a long time to feel discouraged.
What makes them uncomfortable is the question of, can I actually succeed in this program? I have not succeeded in the past.
So self-doubt.
Self-doubt. When they confront a situation that in the past has been a situation of failure, they need reassurance that this time they can succeed. And they need to build that. Really, what we're talking about is build that self-confidence that they can succeed. And if they have a tutor or a teacher who really understands that they are not just an instructor, but they are a supporter, they're going to succeed.
Another incentive for these older students is their grandchildren. Being able for the first time to read stories to the little ones would be delightful. We're exploring what it's like for adults who have trouble reading and writing. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. For more information on the segment Adults Learning to Read, and to obtain audio downloads or CDs, please visit humanmedia.org. It's early morning, and people are signing in at Academy of Hope, a nonprofit adult education program in a low-income section of Washington, D.C. It's free to anyone at least 18 years old living in the district. The Academy was founded in 1985 by a former teacher and social worker. Today, they emphasize literacy training, helping people gain skills for healthcare and other jobs, as well as how to navigate the digital age. The CEO is Lysester Johnson, who was raised in Birmingham, Alabama.
I think because my mom was trusted, that people felt comfortable coming to her. I just remember just the mail. We had two neighbors, one behind us and one right across the street that would come over and they would sit at the coffee table.
The neighbors would bring with them correspondence that the mail carrier had delivered to their home, but which they couldn't read.
So what does that mean, Molly? My mom's name was Molly. And she would, you know, sort of interpret that for them. And I was a little kid sort of hanging around in the kitchen to help her, to listening to adult conversations that I shouldn't have been listening to. And just not being able to get jobs or not even sometimes having difficulty completing applications or different forms that they needed to complete. So just saw that.
I dropped out of high school, so I didn't have a high school diploma. So I came here to get my GED.
Connie Williams was one of the earlier beneficiaries of Academy of Hope, where she learned many skills and ultimately opened a food pantry for people in need here in Southeast Washington.
It took me 5 times each year before I got it. And I wanted
Congratulations.
To go, thank you. I wanted to go to culinary arts school, but I wasn't passing.
Did you have difficulty reading and writing?
I had difficulty with math, more so with writing, just not making it a run-on sentence. So.
Did you get some help for that?
Yes. Back then in 95, it was a smaller setting, and it was more like family.
Okay.
So when I say family, meaning the teachers, because they even called you to check on you. They called you on Saturdays. We had a lot of field trips, went many places. So it was homey. So more the reason of being frustrated with reading and math, having somebody to talk with you, help you understand.
So one of the things that I've heard is that sometimes when people don't have strong literacy skills, it can be a source of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Was that the case for you?
Yeah, you know, have been able to pronounce a word properly, you know, spell a word, you know, making it into a complete sentence and make it sound right. Not, again, with the run-ons.
As a writer myself, I well understand the tendency to compose sentences that go on too long. I'm constantly working on that. The day I visited Academy of Hope, volunteers had gathered to distribute food made available by the nonprofit pantry which Connie Williams had established.
And right now the food in the back, we have whitening fish, chicken breast, grits, grape juice, cooking oil, and then the food on the table is Walmart, a lot of fresh produce, bread, desserts.
So does this give you satisfaction?
Yes, yes. This was my life story. I was hungry with my two sons, not having enough, even with the food stamps back then. I didn't know how I was going to have a food pantry, but it kept coming back to me, so it must have been because it worked itself out.
Do you think there are prejudices against people who have low literacy skills?
Yes, I absolutely know there are.
Academy of Hope CEO Lysester Johnson.
I think people forget the complexities surrounding why someone left school, and we tend to blame the adult learner. You will have very few people who say, I didn't care about school when they were in school. You dig deeper, if you keep the conversation going, you understand that there was a lot going on in that family at the time. Typically, substance abuse, involvement in the justice system, homelessness, food insecurity, the list goes on. And so it was really impossible for them to continue.
And in some homes, if the parents haven't learned to read, there's no role model for children to emulate, in which case there may be little familiarity with public libraries, where you can borrow books free once you know how libraries function. In recent years, Academy of Hope has experienced a growth spurt. Currently, they employ a staff of 23 instructors, serving over 800 learners, partly through funding provided by the District of Columbia. The Academy also relies on a broad network of volunteers. One, age 22, Fedor Konyashenkov, was born in Spain to a Russian family and came to D.C. 4 years ago. He recently graduated from George Washington University.
Reading is one of the most important things a human has needed for centuries and centuries as a skill. So the fact that some adults are unable to do so at the highest level, impacts many things for them. It impacts their health, impacts their ability to get a job, to help their families.
Joining us at the table was another volunteer literacy tutor, Lawrence Meyer, now retired, who worked 32 years as a reporter at the Washington Post. He covered the original Watergate break-in trial. These days, as a tutor, he's come to understand the uphill battle faced by some of the students.
Well, in some instances, one of the challenges is they're showing up. They have a lot of pressures, and they don't necessarily have tranquil lives. I had one learner who actually was being evicted from where she was living, so she had to deal with housing, so that was an obvious problem.
And Fedor, who rides his bike to the academy, started with one learner, but within a few months, two others approached him to be their tutor.
Right now, I'm working with three people individually. One of them recently called me, and I was helping him, apart from mainly just learning to improve his reading comprehension, to apply for jobs. And he recently called me and he told me that he got a job. So that was when I got that phone call and I heard the news, it made me very happy.
It was heartening, he said, to help someone attain a goal that will improve their life. Tutoring has also been an inspiring experience for Larry Meyer.
Over time, I've formed good, positive relationships with my learners. One of them called me the other day, a woman from Ethiopia who had a high school education in Ethiopia, but she wanted to get her degree here because she wanted to continue her education. She worked as a phlebotomist in a local hospital, but she wanted to be a nurse. She got her GED. She went on to the University of the District of Columbia, and she is now working as a nurse. So that was good.
And for Fedor Konyashenkov, volunteering at Academy of Hope is part of a larger personal mission.
I was an international affairs major, and I actually concentrated in international development. And the thing that drew me to that was my interest in bridging the inequity gap in education around the world and locally. So it's very important to increase adult literacy. So I both wanted to, in the short term, help with that battle, but also learn and understand what it is to be a tutor, just so I can get more experience in my ultimate goal of participating in bridging the inequity gap.
So the literacy students being helped by Fedor and Larry aren't the only ones gaining important lessons.
One thing that I learned is how teaching and how tutoring actually works, how it functions, what do you have to do? So that's something that will hopefully help me as I progress in my career, just knowing what the work entails. But it's also taught me a lot about myself, because I've had to communicate with, for now at least, three different people differently, and it has shown me how I am as a teacher, how I am as a person that arrives and helps, how I am as a helper. So it opened and showed me more about myself and how I act in certain situations.
Well, I think the first thing I've learned is patience, that you have to meet a person on the level that they are and try to communicate with them. And in that process, I have formed relationships and been able to look beyond the level of someone's education. But there's a real person there, regardless of just because a person's uneducated doesn't mean that they're not smart. You get some real wisdom and intelligent comments when you get beneath that surface.
Coming up, we meet a woman who had to start over from scratch when she found out the online education program she paid for had lost its academic accreditation, so she enrolled at Academy of Hope. And we ask, what is the impact on the functioning of our democracy when tens of millions of citizens have trouble reading? Are they more susceptible to political manipulation? When adults learning to read continues on Humankind, in a moment.